İnnel hamdülillahi ve salatu ve selamu ala şerefil enbiya Muhammedur Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve aleyhi ve sellem ve ala ba'd. My brothers and sisters, the fourth advice that Imam Hasan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi gave when he was asked about the secret of his life, of having a life of peace and harmony and tranquility and freedom from all forms of stress, the fourth advice he gave was, he said, I know I will die, and so I prepare for that day. I know that I will die, and therefore I prepare for that day. Seriously, I ask myself whenever I hear things like this, that Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi knew that he would die. Do I know that I will die? There is a difference between knowing and believing. You say, I believe that this may happen. I believe, even if you say, I believe this will happen, still it's a belief. We don't absolutely know that it will happen. But knowing is beyond belief. Knowing is absolute certainty. I know this will happen. For example, you might say, well, I believe that today at 10 o'clock somebody will come to meet me. But if somebody says, do you know that 10 o'clock will happen today? The time will it come? 10 o'clock? Is there a doubt? There's no doubt. I may not be alive, but 10 o'clock will happen, inshallah. I don't think Qiyamah will come before 10 o'clock. So, it is something which is absolutely certain. There's no doubt about this anywhere, not even, you know, any iota of doubt. Now, question to ask ourselves is, really seriously, this question to say, do I know with absolute certainty that I will die? Do I know this? I'm not saying, will it happen? Is it a fact? Is there a doubt? No, I'm saying, me personally, individually, by myself. I'm not talking about the concept and so on. Because there is one thing, if there is one thing on which the entire world is agreed upon, everyone, every single living human being, irrespective of his religion or lack of religion, atheist or whatever, if there is one thing which every single human being is agreed upon, it is that he or she will die. Right? They may not believe in life after death, they may not believe in Jannah, Jahannam, they may not believe in the day of judgment, they may not believe. But do people believe that they will die? Is there anyone living, except unless the person is insane, but other than that, anyone who is sane, I'm not even saying intelligent, just sane, living human being who is sane, do you think there is anyone at all in the entire world, no matter where, who says, I will not die? There's nobody. I mean, it's not koi shak nahi. I mean, people may not care. Many people do not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't believe in God Himself, but they believe in death. Everyone knows they will die. So what is it that is so different between them and the Muslims? It's not belief in death, that everybody believes. It is the preparation for that death. It is the belief in the life of the hereafter. What is the meaning of preparation for death? If there was no life in the hereafter, if there was no resurrection, if there was no day of judgment, then what is there to prepare? Nothing. Well, I'll die, halas. So what? Nothing to prepare. Preparation is, when we say prepare for death, what is the meaning? What is really the meaning? Meaning is prepare for the life hereafter. Because that life, it is our belief that this life is forever. It is everlasting, it will not end. And therefore, it is a life which makes sense for us to prepare for, so that it will be a good life, inshallah. That is the preparation. Now, what must we do? Another one of the Salaf, somebody came and asked him, they said, do tell me, how can I prepare for the hereafter? He said, don't tell me too many complicated things, don't tell me too much of Zuhud, then you know, do this, do that, fasting, praying, whatnot. Tell me a simple thing, easy to do. So he said to him, number one, do not make shirk. Do not join anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his ibadah or in asking for help. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Do not do any shirk. Number one. He said, number two, fulfill the faraid. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made fard, fulfill this. Number three, he said, earn and eat halal. Don't have any doubtful things in that. Earn and eat halal. And the fourth one, he said, make tawbah. Whatever you do, if you anything that you think has gone wrong, make tawbah. Make tawbah, make sure that you don't harm anybody and so on and so forth. Make tawbah. So if you think about this, we know the hadith where a man came, one of the Badu came to Rasulullah and he said, Ya Rasulullah, what must I do to get Jannah? Rasulullah said, say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah and do not do shirk in this. He said, I will do this and I will not do anything more. Now, a very peculiar way of answering. He said, anything, what else must I do? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, fulfill, he said, fast. No, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, pray 5 times a day. He said, I will do that and I will not do more. Anything else? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, in Ramadan, fast the days of Ramadan. However many days there are, 29 days, 30 days. He said, I will do that much and I will not do more. Anything else? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you are liable or eligible to pay zakat, then you pay zakat. He said, I will pay that much and nothing more. What else? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you can do hajj, then do one hajj in your lifetime. He said, I will do that and nothing more. And then he went away. So the Sahaba were very surprised at this man. Some people were also irritated that this man was speaking in this very funny way. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, by the one in whose hand is the life of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if this man sticks to what he has said, then Allah, inshallah, Allah will give him Jannah. So the fulfilling of the faraid is a very, very important thing. It's not a simple thing. To ensure that we pray on time, we pray in the masjid, that we do not miss any salah, to ensure that we fast, minimum is in Ramadan, other than that is different, for the fard fast. To ensure we pay zakat, to ensure we make hajj, all of these faraid are extremely important and this is the way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the third one is eating and earning halal. That's very, very, very critically important. This is one of the biggest reasons for the acceptance of dua or the rejection of dua, both. A person who is earning halal and eating halal, inshallah al-musta'an, his dua is maqbool. And the vice versa, opposite is also true. A person who is not eating halal, not earning halal, who does not care about all that, all kinds of mixture in earning and eating, that person's dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept. One of the biggest problems of today is this, that our duas are not accepted. And one of the big reasons is because there is a problem with how we are earning and how we are eating. So therefore, it's very important to make sure that this is clean. And the last one is with regard to huququl ibad, how we are with people. Those who we are connected with in whichever way. So immediately, of course, is our immediate family, which is parents, children, brothers and sisters, because they take precedence over everybody else, your blood relations. And after that, bigger circle, extended family. After that come the neighbors. And after that comes whoever else is there in the world. Wherever we go, whoever we are interacting with, you are driving on the road, you are sitting in a plane, you are sitting in a train, or wherever, whatever you are doing. Business, customers, employers, employees, everyone, whoever we are connected with. All of these, the single most important rule is that no harm must come from me to them. Now what I am saying is the absolute basic minimum. Below this there is nothing, right? Ideally we should do more. No harm must come is the absolute basic minimum. Below that is what? Nothing. Ideally we should do good for them. All of these people who I mentioned, ideally they must benefit from us. But I am saying even if they are not benefiting from you, at least don't harm them. Minimum. At least don't do anything which is harmful to them. Right? You can't do anything for your neighbor, at least don't be a nuisance to the neighbor. Don't put on your whatever TV or whichever stuff you are listening to, don't turn it on so loudly that, you know, disturbs people's sleep or things like this. This is not, So, very important that we do this. See, countries, I mean, in Singapore, you are fined if you flush your toilet after 12 o'clock in the night in apartment buildings. Because it disturbs people, because the sound of the water. The other day somebody was running, in our building here, somebody was running a washing machine at 2 o'clock in the night. It is so loud because that spinning cycle of it in the silence, 2 o'clock in the night. I mean, is that a time to wash clothes? May Allah forgive us. But this happened, and happened 2 days in succession. I don't know who is doing this. And really, there is absolutely zero concern for anybody else. But this is, you are harming people. You are actually causing harm to your neighbors. And this is, Allah will question you for this. It's not a question of washing machine, you know. So the point is that at least minimum do not harm people. Now many times people ask this question, they say, oh, but you see, everyone talks about forgiveness in Islam, forgive everyone before you go to sleep and forgive this, forgive that. But then there are people who are trying to harm me, there are people who are my enemies. What must I do? Should I not take revenge? The people ask this question. So my point is, the best example to follow is the example of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Did he have people who were trying to harm him? Yes or no? Did he have people who were trying to harm his family? Not just trying, they succeeded. One of his daughters got killed by those people. Right? So the point is that, what did he do? Did he try to take revenge? After Fatah Makkah, one of the things which absolutely amazes me, I have no answer to this, where Rasulullah ﷺ came into Makkah as a conqueror, not only did he not take revenge, he did not even seek compensation for what he and his companions had lost in Makkah. People, they misappropriated their property when they migrated to Medina. These people of Makkah, they swallowed their property, they took away their property, they took away their houses, lands, wealth and so on and so forth. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Makkah as a conqueror, he did not even claim that back. Forget about revenge is a big thing. He didn't even claim that back. So when people ask me this question, I tell them, I say, tell me, supposing it was given in your power, these people who are, say, XY is trying to, according to you, this person is trying to harm you, they're trying to hurt you and so on, right? If it was given in your power to kill them, will you kill them? I'm asking a simple question. If it was given in your power to say, you can kill this person, will you do that? You will not do that. If it came to that, I can guarantee you will not do that because you are a good human being. And at that time you will say, no, it's not, whatever they did, it's not worth killing them. I can't kill them. Okay, I will give you the power to put them into prison for 20 years. Will you do that? That also you will not do. So what revenge do you want to take anyway? What revenge? They make some stupid comment, you want to make another stupid comment back to them. For what? How does it benefit? It only perpetuates a negative thing. Much better than that, if you really think you are in danger, seek the protection of the only one who can save you, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Read Ayatul Kursi. You know the Ayatul Kursi, Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ayatul Kursi is protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made protection. Protection from what? From everything. Protection from negative thoughts, protection from negative emotions, protection from things which you can see, things which you cannot see, from people, from all kinds of makhluk. Protection. He said it is protection, so it's protection from everything. So read Ayatul Kursi, inshallah. Seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is more than enough. Don't you think it is enough? Is Allah enough to protect you or not? Alayhi sallahu bi kafin abdah. Allah asks this question, is Allah not sufficient for his slave? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks this question, is Allah not sufficient for his slave? So if you really believe, if I believe Allah is sufficient for me, I have sought the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forget everybody else. Why do you care? Why do you want to carry this garbage of somebody's negativity in your head? Is it a garbage bin? Is it a rubbish pit? Is it a garbage truck? Why are you carrying garbage in it? This garbage, this is carrying negativity is garbage. So why are you carrying garbage in it? Are you a garbage collector? Are you a garbage carrier? Jettison it, leave it, forget it, eject it. Seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will protect you, khalas. This is the meaning of preparing yourself for the akhirah. Remove all the garbage from your life, all negativity, throw it away. Only positivity. Ruju ila Allah, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure you fulfill the fara'id, no shirk. Differentiate between haram and halal. Anything which is doubtful, leave it. Whether it's in earning, whether it's in eating, whether it's in our actions, our speech, whatever. Anything which is doubtful, leave it. If you leave the doubtful, inshallah, you are completely safe, because then obviously what is not permitted, you will not do. The problem comes only with the doubtful things. And if the doubtful things you leave, and this is the advice of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, leave the doubtful for that which is not doubtful. So if you leave the doubtful things, then there's no problem. Alhamdulillah. This is the meaning of preparing for death, meaning preparing for life after death. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to prepare for it and to help us in that preparation and to protect us from all forms of distraction and to give us Jannatul Firdaus al-Ala bi ghairi hisab. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahim.